Yes, welcome back to Tech Plus, another week where we discuss all the latest in tech, and unbelievably, it is the 1st of June. We've now come to winter and the halfway mark almost of 2024. It's unbelievable. Hello, Kane.
Hello.
Can you believe we're in June?
I think the only thing faster than the Simola cars at the hill climb is literally how quick the year goes by.
Yes, that's
it was
a good
just January.
That's a good way of putting it. And also, winter's here with a vengeance. Eh? There's still a lot of rain coming our way.
It's frozen.
It's really
cold. I think it's going to get a bit colder, so you better...
Definitely. Monday, there's a lot of rain coming.
Is there Monday coming rain, eh?
Yeah. Sunday, Monday... Also wind, even possibly a little bit of thunder.
It's fine, my garden needs it, hey. My JoJo's getting empty.
You got a new garden. Have you got a nice garden at your new place?
I do indeed.
That's very nice. Gardens are important.
I've got a JoJo as well, so a I don't JoJo feel bad tank, using water anymore. It actually impresses me how much water those things collect. Like genuinely, maybe to some they're like, oh no, come on, we've been using a JoJo forever and it's total sense. But for me, I mean, I didn't expect a gutter to collect that much water. And what a fancy invention a gutter is, eh?
Mm.
Prevents your water from running down your walls. You can thank the gutter for your clean house, basically, which is, I think, very, very actually a good use of capturing something that would otherwise not be available to you if you didn't have a gutter system going into a JoJo or something like that. So that's very, very cool.
And your backup thing that you used to use, you got a UPS, hey? What do you call that?
Like a backup of an alternative power system.
Yes, that thing's probably wondering what's happening, why you're not using it. Because you know, do you know that it's now the 66 day mark now?
It's insane.
Of
it's
no load shedding.
Almost doesn't feel real.
Are we suspicious?
I don't know. I'm a bit nervous about what's going to happen next week.
Because, now that the elections are over, things really, really change very quickly.
The thing is,
winter is here, so they just blame winter, man.
So the thing is, remember, we actually had Eskom make a statement, and they were like, the end of load shedding at the moment isn't because of elections. So it would look pretty suspicious if load shedding were to come back in the next 7 to 14 days.
Oh, yes.
So they almost have to keep it going. Even if there's a problem, you know, you got to kind of have to. You got to die with the lie. Otherwise, it's going to be a bit suspicious. So I'm just saying, if I have to start using my alternative power system, then I'm going to start thinking that it might have had something to do with the elections.
That thing's just standing there now, wondering what its purpose is. What's the meaning of life?
It still has full battery. I haven't put it on charge again.
It's awesome that, they're just full now and they were used so much, eh? But, I mean, the good thing also is it prolongs its life now.
Yeah.
The batteries last longer now because
I think if you were to have gone through all that load shedding, there would have been many, many cycles where the power would have been depleted.
Exactly.
And refilled, so we definitely got a bit more life out of it. I'm just happy there's no more load shedding. I almost forgot what load shedding was. And you want to say that very lightly because load shedding has a way of coming back when you speak its name.
Yeah.
So we've mentioned it twice. We're not allowed to mention it a third time on the show.
Yeah, but everybody's switching on their heaters. That's the problem. Because it's so cold now, you know.
Ish. Speaking of cold and water and gutters, the Seacom cable off the coast of East Africa under the water has been repaired, apparently.
Is it fixed now? Okay.
According
Thank
to
goodness.
Some observations in the space, Seacom was damaged in early May 2024, along with the Eastern African Submarine System, or ESSY cable. My Broadband asked Seacom to confirm whether the faults had been repaired, but it hadn't provided any feedback by the time they wrote a particular article on their site. So, at least from some point of view, we believe that it's been repaired. But you know what's crazy to me is even though we have these massive breaks in essential system infrastructure that is literally a cable that goes from one continent to another, I think some people would have trouble. I know I have trouble kind of coming up in my mind with an image of how long this cable must be.
Mm.
You know, when we flew from Johannesburg to France, or even when I flew to Dubai, that trip up Africa takes a long time. Mm. And you're moving at 1,000, just short of 1,000 kilometers an hour, maybe 940, 950 kilometers an hour. And you travel for 8 hours and you travel up Africa. So can you imagine how long this cable must be?
That's unthinkable.
Unthinkable. And it's like my question is, do they have like 10 rolled up cables that are very, very long? Do they have 100 rolled up cables that are a little bit shorter but still very, very long? Is it one massive cable? because my fiber guy came around to the house to check that our internet speed was all right, and we had lost, you know, 10% of the internet speed or 25% of the speed occasionally. It wasn't as fast as it should have been.
Mm.
And he did some tests, and he checked this and he checked that, and he couldn't quite figure it out. And then he looked at the cable, and he saw that the cable, which is a very thin cable, looks like a telephone cable, that comes from your fiber ONT, well, from the fiber box in your house to the fiber ONT. It's like a tiny little yellow cable. It had the most minuscule of kinks in it. Like, wow. I'm talking just a little kink. Like, it looked more like a bend than a kink. And that was the reason that the internet slowed. So you're talking about a very fragile cable that's
very
under huge amounts of pressure. And has to be laid flat. There can't be breaks in the cable. There can't be anything. I mean, hats off to the guys that made sure that's happening, right?
You're so sensitive to those things as well, eh?
I'm pretty sure this thing must be under some severe protection, but obviously not enough to protect itself from an anchor being dropped on it or pulled across it or something. That seems to snap the cable quite easily. In other news, we're taking a look at Netflix and Showmax. They apparently are extremely popular in South Africa. How many Netflix subscribers do you think there are out of South Africa at the moment?
Is it more than 1 million?
It is. It's actually quite a bit more than 1 million. Not quite as much as 10 million, though, but a little bit short of that. 6.3 million South Africans.
Wow, that's actually impressive, eh?
That is quite a number. Now, how many people do you think watch Showmax?
Oh, it can't be that much.
What did your guess be at?
Maybe they've got like 1 million.
You think 1 million?
Uh-huh.
Well, they've got 3.6 million.
Okay.
Not bad,
eh? Not bad. Still not where Netflix is. Shame, I don't even want to talk about DSTV. they must be looking at these stats and crying.
I don't think they're doing very well. But nice. Apparently, a survey was done across 8 million people, of which 55% were male and 45% were female. 55% resided in metropolitan areas and 30% in rural and urban areas. And apparently the foundation noted that streaming penetration has reached 19% in South Africa. So 19% of South Africans stream content. I would have thought it's more than that.
Yeah.
I mean, 9 million people, hey? 9 million people are streaming. I wonder how many are, you know, it'd be very interesting to me, how much of the 6 million South African Netflix watchers also have a Showmax account?
Mm.
I think there's an overlap there. That definitely might be why it's 20%
only. Yeah, definitely. Mm.
But I'm still surprised by the sheer number. I mean, that's a big number, hey?
Yeah.
If you have 6.3 million customers out of one location, it's a pretty important location.
Mm.
I think we could expect to see some more South African content on Netflix with stats like that. I definitely think it's likely. I mean, we saw some stuff like Hot or Not, whether it was a South African Hot or Not or something like that, where they were based in Gauteng, which was quite interesting. Maybe it was a different show. But that's not the only thing in South Africa that is getting a bit crazy. DSTV is obviously in a bit of an existential crisis because of this whole streaming thing that happens. Apparently, the Department of Communications and Digital Technologies recently said that streaming services like Netflix and Spotify pose a threat to the South African broadcasters. They went on to say that on-demand music and video online streaming services are seriously disrupting the industry globally. This is what they stated in an annual performance plan for 2024-2025. Its remarks come 5 years after the industry regulator ICASA proposed interventions to break MultiChoice's dominance in several key areas. The regulator launched an inquiry which concluded that MultiChoice dominates South Africa's subscription broadcasting market in several key areas. It proposed several remedies, including forcing the unbundling of certain high-value sports rights and the limiting of the number of Hollywood studios with which a broadcaster may have exclusive agreements. It also proposed that satellite decoders should be interoperable with multiple services. MultiChoice hit back at ICASA's draft findings, launching legal actions against the regulator. It warned that over-regulating South African broadcasters would put them in a major disadvantage to international streaming giants Netflix and YouTube. And it was kind of true. They've definitely... DSTV is in trouble. I don't even know how you go about being a DSTV trying to gather exclusive rights to share certain content on your platform when you have Amazon Prime, they're coming in, they're like putting on a paycheck. Netflix is coming in and upping that paycheck. Occasionally Disney is coming in and upping that paycheck. And then you've got Showmax and DSTV are like, what do we do now, you know? So it's going to be an extremely interesting run for them. I'd be interested to know who's still got DSTV and who's watching it, and if it really is just sport that's keeping that heart
beating.
Definitely
just sport.
That's crazy, because sport's coming to Netflix now.
You see, they, you know, it's just a question of time before they lose that grip on the sport as well. And then that's it for DSTV. Because that's all that's keeping them going right now. Because that's all that keeps the premium people subscribed. And that's what they basically make their money off. The premium subscribers are very
important. You're not on DSTV anymore, eh?
I've got the family one that I share.
Oh, really?
Family in Cape Town, so...
Oh, so you use DSTV now?
I just log in, yeah, but barely. There's nothing to watch.
What was the last thing you watched on
DSTV? There's nothing to watch. My mom watches soapies.
Okay, and you?
Or one soapy. I watched the soapy with her.
Oh, is that the last thing you've watched?
Yeah, on DSTV.
Have you watched anything else other
nothing
than a soapy?
Nothing on DSTV. I just, it's all Netflix, baby.
Netflix? What are you watching on Netflix at the moment?
What's it called? Oh, Lord.
You won't remember now. Now that you're thinking about it, it's gone.
What's it? Oh, it's Young Sheldon. Young Sheldon.
Really? That's a good show.
Very good show.
Take my hat off to that show. It's a good show.
Very cute. And yes, it's nice if you watch Big Bang Theory also, because it's a prequel.
Yeah, I think we're busy watching. We watched Dead Boy Detectives. That was pretty good. And we were watching Gentlemen, which is not a comedy at all.
Gentlemen, I saw that one coming up a few times. Is it good? Because I saw the one guy from Breaking Bad.
It's a good show, but it's definitely like a Breaking Bad kind of intro. You know, you kind of watch it like, damn.
Like, it's serious, yeah.
It's a serious show, yeah.
Okay, well,
serious show for serious viewers.
I like it.
Who like serious things.
So it's like a, is it like a kind of a crime drama thing?
It's like a crime drama. It's like a British, it has a British element to it.
Oh, nice.
Or at least a European element to it. And that's really nice. It's all about good people in the wrong place becoming bad people, I guess.
That sounds a lot like Breaking Bad.
It is. That's what I'm saying. It's got a,
must
got
be
a
good
page out of Breaking Bad, that's for
wow.
sure. Now, here's something that's actually truly is Breaking Bad, depending on who you are and who's looking at it. But Takealot apparently has smashed Amazon and Woolworths in the tech price comparison. But before we get into that, I heard that you had a delivery that successfully came through.
You didn't hear it. You can see it. And can notice it as well, because we got some nice, what do you call this?
I'd call it soundproofing foam.
Acoustic foam panels.
Yeah.
From Temu.
Temu of all places.
Because remember, I don't know, did we mention on air that I got something from
we
Temu?
Did.
And then
we
you
did.
Said, okay, so it took 2 weeks to get here, and it came in a really small packet. I thought they actually forgot the stuff, but the way it was rolled up and spaced and everything was amazing.
Wow.
When the courier came, I was like, wow, how did you guys fit it all in here? I thought something was missing.
So let me know.
There's even a little carpet in there.
So you went to the Temu app, and it's a big carpet. You went to the Temu app, you found your products. Didn't matter. You created an account, added them to your basket, and what? Checked them out.
Yes, and then I think not even a week later, you get a message saying you have to pay custom tax because it's now arrived at the border in South Africa. You pay it, because if you don't, it's going to delay your order. So you got to pay it immediately. And on my 500 rand order, it was about 90 rand, which is not bad at all.
I mean, when you consider the total price of the order, it's what? It's 20%?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, is that a lot for you?
It's not really. 20%
isn't really
that much.
I was kind of expecting that, yeah.
90 rand, but remember when you're spending 50,000 rand, it's 9,000 rand.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of a
true.
More. But
listen, all in all, very happy with it, eh? The quality, like you said, the exact same thing I got for, 400 rand on Temu, you can get on Takealot for 1,200 rand, so you save 800 rand.
Yeah, that's it's a proper savings.
So if you want it now, yes, Takealot. If you want it 2 to 3 weeks later, maybe a month, Temu, and you save money.
I think the big difference comes in the fact that if you were prepared to spend the Takealot price, which was 1,200 rand, and you were getting 12 acoustic panels. What the reality is, if you're willing to wait 2 weeks, instead of 12, you're going to get 36. And the quality of these is actually better than the one on Takealot, which is quite crazy.
Yeah, and it's so nice and soft, and I'm really happy with the quality. And for our listeners, I'm sure you can hear the difference as well. because last week it still sounded like we were in a bathroom.
A Coca-Cola can. Our favorite place to record up until now.
and then now it's more direct and everything sounds a bit better. So I really like that, and also makes the space a little bit warmer as well. I don't know why, it just kind of makes it feel that way.
So speaking about getting deliveries, my girlfriend hit me up the other day. She's like, I bought something on Amazon. And this was 2 days ago. It arrived today.
Your?
In the biggest box I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, they also love their boxes.
Oh, eh? Bro, this was a big box, bro. I thought they're delivering a car. A very small car. Yo. A car. And it arrived. It arrived. It's Tuesday. And it took only 3 days, which is...
Wow, that's really cool.
That's really fast.
So is it from Amazon South Africa?
That is from Amazon South Africa.
It's your first order from them now.
First order from them.
Are you happy?
Arrived in 3 days. I mean, the size of the box suggests they definitely have box money. You know, when you have that
probably
box
get
money.
Smaller with
like take a look. You know, when some business is big and they start having box money, it's like they've no shortage box of boxes.
Yeah, there's people making fun of Take a Lot for all the boxes they send you. Sometimes the boxes are empty, or you have like a pen. In one box. Yeah.
They keep that thing safe, you know?
Yes.
Okay, so Take a Lot and Amazon, we just spoke about, and Temu, but they recently did a price comparison between Take a Lot, Amazon, and Woolworths. This is My Broadband. Mm. So, do you want to hear some of the price differences between Take a Lot, Amazon, and My Broadband?
Mm.
So, a Sony PlayStation 5, Take a Lot, 14,000 Rand. Amazon, not being sold at the moment. Woolworths Connect, 12,000 Rand. W Connect. Wow. So that's Woolies is winning there with a saving of about 2,000 Rand. Really not bad.
Mm.
I mean, 12,000 Rand for a PlayStation 5, pretty competitive price no matter how you dice it. For the PlayStation 5 Disc Edition Slim, so the first one that we mentioned was the digital edition, no disc. The second one that I'm mentioning now has the disc. That is 13,000 Rand on Take a Lot. Amazon does have it for 13,000 Rand as well, a difference of 2 Rand basically. And Woolworths Connect has it for 14,000 Rand. So we're seeing Take a Lot take the cake there, beating Amazon out by 2 Rand. Don't mess with Take a Lot, they'll undercut you at whatever costs. The Xbox Series S not being sold on Amazon, but on Take a Lot 7,000 Rand, and on Woolworths Connect 8,000 Rand. So Take a Lot winning again against Woolworths Connect and Amazon. The Xbox Series X Diablo 4 edition is going for 15,000 Rand on Woolworths, 14,000 Rand on Take a Lot, and 13,000 Rand on Amazon. So Amazon coming in with a winning deal there.
Yeah.
It's very mixed at the moment.
It is mixed.
Two for Take a Lot, one for Woolworths Connect, and one for Amazon. Let's see what else we got. Samsung Galaxy Buds Pro. You want to look for some Galaxy Buds? 4,000 Rand on Woolworths Connect, 6,000 Rand on Amazon.
No.
And 2,700 Rand on Take a Lot. That's a bargain.
That's a bargain.
That's a good deal. That's a good deal. Samsung Galaxy Watch 6 Classic 43mm, not being sold on Amazon. 9,300 Rand on Woolworths Connect. 7,500 Rand on Take a Lot. So we literally have four for Take a Lot, one for Amazon, and one for Woolworths Connect. Here we have the Apple Watch Series 9 going for 13,300 Rand on Woolworths Connect. That's the GPS and cellular version, 45mm. 12,900 Rand on Take a Lot and 12,900 Rand on Amazon. So we've got a tie between Take a Lot and Amazon. And we've got the Apple AirPods 3rd generation, 3,700 Rand on Take a Lot and on Amazon. Unfortunately, Woolworths Connect, 4,000 Rand. So that's another point there, tied between Amazon and Take a Lot. And finally, we have the Apple iPhone 15 Plus, 128 gigabyte, going for 23,000 Rand on Amazon and Take a Lot. And 22,000 Rand on Woolworths Connect. Now that's very interesting. I mean, Take a Lot obviously winning there. But can we just stop for a second and appreciate the fact that we have three relatively big e-commerce giants operating right now with a mixed bag of pricing? Meaning, if you do shop around, you're going to get a better price. And if you don't get a better price, you know you have the best price.
Mm.
Not bad. I mean, there's pretty reasonable savings here. If you had bought all of these things, you'd save like 10,000, 15,000 Rand.
Really spoiled for choice now.
Yeah, well, ask really World not. Futures. I mean, even with Temu, I don't know what the Samsung will look like coming from Temu, but, you know, at your own risk with the Temu.
But I think we shouldn't underestimate Temu, hey? I mean, sure, you get some bad products on there and bad quality, but you also get some gems,
might
I
might get
think.
An Apple iPood.
Your Bluetooth device.
Your Bluetooth device has connected
successfully.
You know, that's so funny. We did the tech show last week, and I went into the shop. I think I went into Total Sports and asked, and then here's this, you know,
you heard
super
it.
Foreign. Your Bluetooth device needs
was
to
it on
connected.
The show? Did you
it
hear
was
it like
on the speakers for the whole shop. I was like, obviously, I hear it now.
Oh, boy, well, that's so cool.
That is funny, eh? And apparently there's some delivery by chaos at the moment. Did you hear about that?
Mm-mm.
So apparently there was someone that actually made a bit of a stink. A guy by the name of Hein Jonker apparently said that some of these delivery companies aren't properly vetting their drivers. And apparently that if some of these drivers that are coming from other countries have a driving license that they got, that just automatically lets them ride a bike, and then they're coming in riding a bike.
Oh.
And interestingly enough, Spa Group's national PR manager told MyBroadband that its extensive recruitment protocol is designed to ensure the highest standards of safety and compliance for Spa2U riders. So that's Spa's delivery service. They said our process includes rigorous vetting of driver and asset information to meet all legal requirements. Foreign national drivers would have to implement additional checks to ensure adherence to the regulation 1101 of the National Road Traffic Regulations. Each new recruit undergoes an on-road skill assessment and is paired with an experienced driver for their first week of employment. That's a pretty strong argument to someone who's creating a stink. But the weird thing is that Pick and Pay ASAP and Checkers ShopRite declined to comment with MyBroadband's inquiry into their driver vetting processes. So we'll follow this case on slowly and surely, and we'll see what happens. But I've never met a bad driver, to be honest, from whether it's Checkers, 6060, or Pick and Pay, ASAP, or even Woolies. I've never really seen someone that I'm like, I don't think this guy can drive. So maybe it's more predominant in some of the more populated areas, you know.
Actually drive really well.
They drive fine, yeah.
Those Checkers scooters, because they just go through the traffic. Like everybody's standing still and they just swish through the
traffic.
And
in all honesty, have you ever tried to attach something heavy to the back of your bike and drive it? It's actually difficult. It requires some skill.
Sometimes they battle to start the bikes, but that's a different
story. Some guy delivered to me 4 or 5 liter waters in the back of his bike.
Wow.
With other groceries. I mean, that's 20 kgs of liquid. Liquid.
That's pretty cool.
Reacts funny on.
Yeah, that your balance.
Movement.
But I'll tell you, after the music this week, I had my first kind of less pleasant experience with my Checkers guys.
Oh, yo, I'm ready. You're going to tell me about
Let's
it.
Let's go for some
break.
Music. Cool. And we're back with Tech Plus. If you just joined us, hello to you and welcome. It's Jan and Kane with you on this Saturday, discussing all the latest in tech. And hope that you're keeping nice and warm with the big cold front here in the Western Cape and other parts of the country, sweeping through the country as we speak, and more on the way tomorrow and also on Sunday. So just before the music, we spoke about delivery vehicles and delivery vans and more of these predominant nowadays. Anyway, so this week, as Kane knows, and I'm sure our listeners will also know by now that I like my Checkers 6060. I use them once or twice a week. And this week, I would say, was the first kind of negative experience where one of the drivers lost a bag, or he didn't bring that bag from the store to my place.
Oh, wow.
So I was missing some products, and I had to go on the app and then request refunds for it. You have an option. So you say submit issue, and then you click on the product that's missing, and then you click on missing product, and it credits your 6060 wallet. And then you can order it again, but then you got to pay for the delivery again, which is not nice. So you get it back, but if you wanted that product right now, and maybe you ordered it late during the day, That's it for the day. You're not going to get that product. You can only order again in the morning. So if you needed it tonight, you know.
Yeah, if you like have a 7-ingredient meal you're making and 3 of the ingredients are missing, you've got a bit of a problem.
So they actually lost their hot dog buns as well.
No. Just sat there eating Viennas like this guy.
Yes, and my milk, you know, the milk was quite important. So I wasn't impressed at all. And also some sweets. And they also lost 2 pies.
Jeez, the midnight snacks, bro.
Yes, but you know, I saw a poll this week, and actually, I'm glad we're talking about this now because I want to get your take on it. How will we shop in the future? How about the following options: instant 3D printed products at home. Imagine
that's interesting.
Subscription based clothing libraries.
Mm-hmm.
Drone delivery within minutes. Virtual reality fitting rooms and AI shopping assistants. So I'm thinking AI shopping assistants and drone delivery within minutes. That's a bit more realistic. How about this instant 3D printed product at home?
All three of those, yeah.
How would that even
work? I would say the other two are much less likely, like virtual reality fitting rooms and things like that. That is going to be something that's available to the customer that wants it. But I think to the customers that don't care whether they have it or not, what they're going to experience is for sure drone deliveries. Like, absolutely. There is no doubt in my mind that there is going to be drone deliveries. We actually have a story about drone deliveries today that we'll talk about,
which
is very, very interesting and directly in line with that. 3D printed products, very likely. Incredibly likely. Mm. There's become more and more complex printing that's happened, and a lot of the trend nowadays, or not even a trend, just a macro utility that people have been expressing, is the ability to create custom products that are 3D printed objects that help make their life easier. I saw one where it was a 3D printed magnet thing to put on your fridge, so your phone can sit there on the front of your fridge, so when you're doing recipes and stuff like that,
wow,
or inventory, it's super easy to do. There's all sorts of utilities. There's camera holders that also have been used. There's things that can be, you know, that have you ever seen that magnet thing at the back of a phone that holds cash? You can do that with 3D printing. You can make, you know, custom tubing for cabling. You could do a lot of things with 3D printing. I imagine that what you might end up doing is you might be buying a design for your 3D printer at home. So you'll browse a store and you permanently purchase the blueprints to a product. So you can, let's say cute cable holders for your desk, right? You could pay 25 Rand for 5 and you get 5 cable holders for your desk. Or you can spend 250 Rand for the printable blueprint and just print as many as you want forever, you know. I could see that happening.
But Ken, in terms of grocery shopping, can you print a tomato, or is that not going to work?
3D food processing.
Does it even exist?
I think
it won't taste like the real thing, I'm sure.
Let's say it did exist.
Oh, that's
people
weird.
would do it who were starving, but people who weren't starving and had enough money wouldn't, because there's going to be this divide between people who are organic and people who are not. So
yeah, what about the nutritional value?
And you're going to see weird things like a square tomato. <You know? laughs> Tomato that's the shape of a banana.
Oh, that's terrible. Oh, what an image. Oh, that was very graphic.
Talking about an image, do you know what PayShap is?
Yes, more and more people using it, apparently.
Yes, so PayShap system has recorded 30 million transactions valued at 20 billion rand since its launch. So what it does is, this is what I love. I love technology like this. All it does is it links your bank account to a mobile number.
Yeah.
So you sell someone, just pay me via this mobile number. And they can pay you to your bank account. It's that simple, and that's why it works. And that's why it has a lot of users. Who wouldn't use that?
Exactly.
If I could just give you a mobile number instead of my bank account. First of all, a bank account is pretty hard to remember. It's like it's not something you look at every day. It's not something you give out every day. And it's not something that you use every day. But a mobile number you use very often, whether you're signing up to something, or whether you're verifying your mobile number to create an account somewhere, or whether you're giving someone your number to contact you later, or whether you're creating a business networking exercise or something like that. Everything you do is through your cell phone. So it only makes sense to connect a bank account number to your cell phone. In fact, WeChat, well before PayShap, used to just allow you to, it had an integrated payment system. So imagine your chats on WhatsApp, you could just pay people. You know, hey, can I borrow your car for a week? No, but you can pay me. Okay, how much? 5,000 Rand. Okay, I've paid the money. Easy like that. You know? Just like that, straight within your chat browser.
Very convenient.
And that's what X is trying to do. X is trying to bring payments. It's trying to bring messaging. It's trying to bring open free communication. It's trying to bring a marketplace in. So it's a place where you can WhatsApp your friends, browse a marketplace. It's basically Facebook with Facebook Marketplace having a wallet inside of the Facebook Marketplace that you can use to buy products and things like that. It's the future.
Does WeChat still exist?
Very popular in China.
Yeah, but here in South Africa, you never hear somebody saying, add me on WeChat.
No.
Never. I've never seen anybody. You're the only one I know who uses WeChat.
I think with things like that, it's just like Signal and Telegram. It's mainly ruled by the populace. The populace has to use it for it to be useful to you.
Yeah.
WeChat is not useful to me if my friends don't use WeChat.
Mm.
But if I insist on one of my friends communicate to me through WeChat, and every friend that I speak to, I insist that he speaks to me through WeChat, you're probably going to find that WeChat becomes more popular. But there's no necessity for that. There's no drive for that. There's nothing that says I shouldn't use Signal or Telegram or WhatsApp. So where these bigger corps have this monopoly is just where it just so happens that it's almost 100% used in this particular monopoly. So in China, it's WeChat, and in European areas, it's more WhatsApp, and in some of those overlapping areas, there's like the guys who want to remain super anonymous, like the Signal users and the Telegram users. But ultimately, if your friend don't use it, it ain't useful. You know, it's just that simple.
True.
And Sterkinikor is staying alive.
Staying alive.
They called for business rescue. Remember that?
Yes.
They were in business rescue. So apparently Sterkinikor CEO Mark Sardi believes cinema has a bright future in South Africa despite headwinds like the popularity of streaming services, which we just discussed. Load shedding and the effect of Hollywood actors' strikes as well has caused a little bit of difficulty for them. So in an interview with 702, Sardi explained that load shedding impacts Sterkinikor's operations and can also de-incentivize South Africans from visiting movie theaters. Last year, despite miraculous periods of no load shedding, we probably had the most intense period of load shedding between April and September of last year, and that impacts consumer behavior. If you go onto the drug of watching a streaming service at home and you're worried about traveling through traffic lights that don't work to a cinema that may or may not be on, it does become a bit of a disincentive to go, which is kind of a fair point. What he's basically saying is, you know, once you get hooked on streaming and you can just stream it from your couch and you can order KFC right to your house and you can all enjoy it and you've got a nice big TV screen or you've got a nice big projector and it's always working and you've got a backup power solution, you don't really want to drive and have to deal with the road traffic in a load shedding environment or arrive at a cinema and it's not working. So they had a lot of hardship that they were struggling with. But apparently, you know, they're still doing around. They say they've got about a gap of around 6 to 8 months of content that they don't have, which is from writer strikes and COVID and things that they're still trying to catch up on.
Sure.
But some way, somehow, they're still staying alive. Apparently, you pay for about half of whatever you get in ticket prices to the movie businesses like Hollywood and things like that. So they got about a 50% markup on that. But they're still alive. They're still doing well.
That's amazing.
Business Rescue has rescued the business, so that works well. And then before we go over to the next topic, Botswana has just approved Starlink. So another African country to approve Starlink services in the country before South Africa.
Because this week something happened with one of the Starlink dealers here in South Africa.
What happened?
I think they confiscated the equipment or whatever. Like hundreds or thousands of people were cut off.
Oh,
because
wow.
This dealer was selling Starlink kits.
Oh, wow.
Unlawfully.
So, I mean, apparently Botswana granted a license to SpaceX's Starlink unit, and it's the latest African nation to allow the internet service company to operate. And regulators in the Southern African nation were asked to fast-track approval of the license. And the president said in remarks posted on his official Facebook page, the decision to grant the permit was taken after recently meeting with Starlink executives in Dallas. He said they gave them 2 weeks to fast track it, and they have already been given a license. So there you go. They're busy.
Sure.
Now there's another
country.
That's how
country. It should go, man.
And they did it for farmers and people in more than difficult broadband regions to connect. And apparently it's all working well. So they should expect to start seeing Botswana residents getting Starlink. What that also means is Botswana is a new place that can export Starlink tech to South Africa for South African residents to use on the roaming deals. So that's going to open up more more illegal Starlink trade.
Yeah.
Such a difficult thing to stop if you're not interested in, you know, in improving South Africa as a country, or is South Africa improving Starlink as a network operator?
Mm.
So next up, we're taking a look at Acer, that's brought a new type of screen to the market. It's a 32-inch 4K OLED monitor. We spoke about the difference between LED, OLED, mini LED, and VA paneling, and all these different types of panels that make up different types of computer monitors, and what makes them good and what makes them not. And OLED has this feature called infinite contrast, which just means that the blacks on the screen can go so black that the screen appears off.
What's the one with the burn-in?
That's OLED.
Okay.
So OLED, if left on something for too long, will burn into the screen. But because it has such high brightness and such low darkness, like it can go so dark that a TV appears off. It basically is off because it can turn off individual pixels. So off is off. It can create burn-in. So mini LED is another technology that is used to create a similar effect to OLED in terms of the contrast, but without the burn-in. But you'll see that OLED TVs, you need in fear, because most of them, the software that comes with the OLED panel is built to go into power saving mode relatively quickly, or show a screensaver if it detects that there's no movement in the picture. Oh. So they have got relatively clever there. But this Asus monitor is super duper cool. A 32-inch 4K monitor, right? It can do two things. It can switch between being a 4K monitor and a 1080p monitor.
Cool.
So when it's a 1080p monitor, can have up to 480 hertz. So a normal monitor can achieve about 75 hertz, which just means the frames per second that the monitor can display. So if you're watching a movie or you're playing a game, you're interested in how many hertz that thing can knock out, because the more hertz it can do, the smoother the picture. So it can switch between being a 1080p display at 480 hertz or being a 4K display at 240 hertz. So that's crazy. It can do between 275 nit brightness and 1000 nit brightness, which is how bright it can go, which is relatively impressive. And it's retailing in America at about $1,200. So it's quite expensive, but for the right person, it's actually a pretty solid piece of tech. And definitely something that I haven't seen or heard of before. A dual hertz monitor, something that can be two resolutions, two hertz at once. That's pretty cool. Never heard of that before. Next, we're taking a look at, apparently, have you ever heard of Playdates?
I had those when I was a kid.
It's like a little mini Playdates.
Yeah, the
I
old
you're being
school
serious.
One. I'm freaking old, man.
So Playdates is essentially like a Game Boy of the current world. It's something that you can play games on. It's like a little handheld console device. Well, apparently, Playdates ordered a massive amount of their stock, about $400,000 worth of their stock, and FedEx delivered it to a construction site that was down the road from them. So FedEx delivered $400,000, or about 8 million rands worth of stock, to the wrong place. And somebody came around and stole them. Right, and then they started making a big scene and, you know, kind of making a big commotion about it, and people started spreading the news. And apparently that stolen tech was just dropped randomly at a restaurant. So note to self, if you ever lose 8 million rand of stock because your courier company delivered it to the wrong place, just make a noise, because they're very likely to give it back, because it's very difficult to hide that much stuff, you know.
Yeah.
At $40 a unit, at $400,000, quite a number of units in there that are basically all stolen. And then the next thing is PlayStation, for those of us who are gamers, has announced that they will have more games that are available on PC. Some, in fact, will launch with PC. Some of those games that you can expect, we'll get into in a moment, but it's quite popular titles. And apparently OpenAI has closed its deal with Apple. So Apple held talks with both Google and OpenAI about integrating their chatbots into iOS 18. According to Bloomberg, it looks like OpenAI won. The pair plan to announce the news at Apple's developer conference, WWDC. The information confirmed per source that the deal had been secured, adding that Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella is concerned about how it could conflict with their partnership. Because those of you who don't know, Microsoft obviously invested a considerable amount of money into OpenAI. So OpenAI basically getting into a deal with Apple is a pretty strange strange thing for Microsoft to have to deal with, because they're capital injecting huge amounts of money into the business, and that same business is partnering with what is somewhat a competitor to Microsoft. So we're going to see how that plays out. We also have a new movie coming to Netflix, a new series. It's called The Million Dollar Secret. It's a new game show, kind of built off of what we saw from Squid Games.
Oh, okay.
So this is a new game of Predator and Prey, apparently. It has 12 players all trying to secure a $1 million jackpot. So Netflix has a new game show on the way called The Million Dollar Secret. Netflix says the 8-episode series will set 11 contestants on a hunt for a 12th one who's been given a $1 million prize in an effort to be the last person standing. So you've got 12 people hunting for a 13th person. Right, the show seems to be aimed at the same audience that made the similarly dystopian Squid Games, as well as the 15th most watched, which is now the 15th most watched TV show on Netflix, in the second half of 2023 with over 33 million views. Once the $1 million prize holder is found and eliminated by another contestant, the money goes to them. Netflix wrote, but it involves some serious strategy. Players who find that prize early will become everyone else's target, but if they wait, they stand a chance of not finding that person who has the cash. So basically what happens is 12 people are hunting for a 13th person. If you find that 13th person, you can eliminate them and you become that person. But that means you've now got 11 other people who are going to come try and find you.
Ooh.
Last man standing gets $1 million. So that sounds
That's like a nice concept. Yeah, I like it.
Speaking of which, is it time for music break?
It sure is. Let's go for some music. Welcome back to Tech Plus. It is now the final stretch for this week as we discuss all the latest and the biggest stories in technology. Kane, what have you got for us next?
This was crazy. Apparently, two Samsung workers were exposed to radiation, the Nuclear Commission says.
Ooh.
So apparently the employees were hospitalized for abnormal radiation symptoms in their hands.
Oopsie.
So this is this gets crazy.
Where did this come from?
Listen to this. So Samsung is under investigation after two employees were hospitalized following exposure to X-rays on May 27th. South Korea's Nuclear Safety and Security Commission, or the NSSC, announced the exposure took place at Samsung's Jingyong chip plant about 25 miles south of Seoul. The two employees were exposed while using a machine that blasts materials with X-rays in order to analyze them. Both showed abnormal symptoms due to radiation exposure on their findings. The NSSC writes in its release, the agency says their blood test came back normal, but it plans to conduct a follow-up testing. Use of the machine has apparently been suspended, and the agency says it plans to figure out exactly how much radiation they were exposed to. Imagine you're exposed to radiation, don't quite know how much radiation you've been exposed to. But your blood works fine. So Samsung said the employees experienced accidental exposure to X-rays on their hands in a statement to CNBC. It further told the outlet that it's supporting the employees' treatment and is cooperating with authorities. Meanwhile, the NSSC says it will take further measures if it finds that Samsung has violated any safety laws, which I agree with. It's not the first time Samsung has been implicated in its employees' radiation exposure. Listen to this. The South Korean government linked the cancer that took the life of one of its company's former employees in 2012 with radiation and chemical exposure during her time at one of the factories. The company apologized to workers who developed cancer in its factories and set up a fund to compensate them, as well as families of deceased former employees in 2015. So this isn't just one time, man. Someone's died from this. Employees are getting paid for this. There's been some serious radiation
danger pay.
At Samsung. I mean, wow.
I need really good danger pay.
What is your danger pay? It's third arm pay. Too much radiation.
Third arm pay.
You might
develop
a fifth eye. It doesn't
fifth
blink.
One, jeez.
No, it's crazy. I mean, you go look at stuff from radiation areas that are absolutely absurd. Did you know that in one of the radiation areas in Chernobyl, they've actually gone back to Chernobyl and they've taken samples from all over the place? I mean, there's animals in Chernobyl that live. There's not many humans in the most dangerous areas. There's actually a place deep inside Chernobyl underground where there's a whole bunch of nuclear waste kind of leaked out, and it's called the elephant foot because it literally looks like a giant elephant's foot.
Oh my word.
And
after all these years.
Super dangerous. Super duper dangerous.
Can you believe it's still there after all these years?
Some of the fish have two mouths.
No.
Some animals, two heads, extra limbs.
Get out of town. No, man, that's creepy.
Absolutely, it's wild.
That's creepy.
And they found a worm that's living in Chernobyl that has developed complete immunity to radiation. And they're currently studying this worm. So what that really means is that if we ever find a cure to radiation, it will be because we, as a humanitarian civilization, destroyed our own selves with a nuclear bomb to create the radiation that led to the cure to radiation in the first place. So that's a full circle.
That's really, I can't believe that it's still so. How many years will it still be like that before it actually fades? Or is it like forever?
That's what's called a half-life. And as far as I understand, the half-life duration pertains to how long it remains seriously, dangerously radioactive.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like 25,000 years, 5,000 years, half-life. It's like crazy.
So basically forever.
It's for our whole lifetime, for sure. You know,
that's really like, sad.
For sure. Apparently, this is crazy. For anybody out there that plays video games and is frustrated by hackers, don't worry. And for anybody out there who makes people's lives harder by being a hacker, be worried. Because Activision has been awarded a $14.5 million settlement in a Call of Duty cheating lawsuit. So apparently the court also ordered the defendants, called Engine Owning, to turn their website over to Activision. So Activision notched a second victory in an ongoing legal case against Engine Owning, a cheat maker that the company sued in 2022. Yesterday, District Judge Michael Fitzgerald ordered several defendants, including Engine Owning itself, to pay the company 14.5 million rand for their creation and distribution of the Call of Duty cheats. In addition, the judge ordered Engine Owning to turn over its website, stop making and selling cheats, and pay $300,000 in attorney fees to Activision. You can find a PDF of the ruling online. The site engineowning.2 is apparently still operating today, offering cheats like an aimbot that automatically aims and fires, or the ability to see other players through walls for many games, including several in the Call of Duty series. Activision had previously won $3 million in a pair of settlements with two of the people, and it's involved Engine Owning in IGN's notes. So there you go. Don't hack. It's bad. If you do, you're going to get sued, especially if you're the one making them. But it's interesting to see that there's actually, you know, hacking just used to be this thing that no one really paid much attention to. You know, if you were a young kid and you went to your parents, you're like, I'm so annoyed, there's this guy that keeps cheating in the game.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, stop complaining, live a little, go play outside, do something fun, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's such a serious thing that Activision hasn't just sued these one people, but they've also managed in certain states in America to be able to arrest someone for cheating. So if you're playing a video game and you're paying $30 a month for a subscription to a piece of software that lets you basically have an unfair advantage, you can go to jail. So that's another full 180 to what I remember when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Hey, how crazy is that? And you know Jeep? Would you ever get a Jeep?
Yeah, sure, why not?
So Jeep's first full electric vehicle for the US has just been announced, starting at about $72,000. So that'll be in the US. And here's something very interesting as well. Did you know that there are about 3,000 electric cars in South Africa at the moment?
Yo, okay, that's not bad. What do you think? Is that a good number?
Well,
expecting more?
I mean, it's got to start somewhere, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's not bad.
You know? So apparently, despite the accelerated uptick of EVs in South Africa, electric vehicle adopters should not be concerned that they won't have to wait long in queues to use public chargers in the near future. So obviously, the more electric cars we have and the more popular electric vehicles become, the more pressure it puts on our existing infrastructure. So if more people are buying EVs but no new people are putting in electric chargers, you're going to end up in a situation where people are waiting to charge their vehicle. But apparently, that's not the case. Apparently, out of all electric vehicle charging situations, only 1% of them revolve around an individual waiting to be able to charge their electric vehicle. And my argument to that is, well, that makes sense unless you're in the Garden Route area where each place has one electric vehicle charger.
Mm-hmm.
Like minimum one vehicle at a time, otherwise you'd be waiting for sure.
Yeah.
But apparently we're not at the peak of our infrastructure yet. Listen to this. This is the fully electric car sales in South Africa between 2018 and Q1 2024. In 2018, we had 58 sales for electric vehicles. In 2019, 194, 2020, 92, 2021, 220, 2022, 502, 2023, 929, and the first quarter of 2024, we're at 330, estimated to be about 1,200 this year, and that leaves around 3,000 cars at the moment that are currently electric in South Africa. Pretty cool. And on that note...
On that electric note, it's time to say goodbye. Kane, thank you so much. Another great show.
Thank you very much for having me, and thank you to everyone listening in. We'll see you same time, same place next week.
And have a good weekend, and stay nice and warm and dry.
Stay warm and dry.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.